Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see you tonight. Let's all stand. Thank God I'm free. Here we go. For a long time I traveled down along the Jesus, what a wonder. From this world of sin, washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been like bird out of prison. That's taken his flight like a blind man that has found fortune and fame. And I am free from this world of sin, washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, for springs of living water. Water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. The glory, grace, and blessing marks the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah. Spirits can be satisfied, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So to the Father. through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Once I drifted out in sin, had no, my soul was burdened down with, then my soul I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I didn't say no more. I'm on the straight and narrow way. I was drifting every day, out upon the waters deep and wide. But all is over now. My soul is on the
tonight. We're going to have a choir special, it looks like. Man, it's going to be a good night. We had a great morning. Our attendance was down quite a bit. That's just what's going to happen as school lets out and for the summer. But let me just encourage you guys. I know people are going to be taking their vacation. There's going to be a lot of travel during the summer, and attendance always tends to drop. But just be faithful as you can be. And we'll keep it we'll keep it happening around here. We got a 90. I looked at the phone a few minutes ago. 90% chance of rain at 11 p.m. this evening. Of course, that's in the Amazon. Here we're not having rain. Now here we've got a 90% chance, and so that's praise the Lord. I mean, that's pretty good odds. You might not have noticed, but we're in a drought here considerably, and we've got a little rain, but we need a lot more. So pray about that. And folks, I know I always tell you this, but thank God for every drop when He sends. If it sprinkles on you on the way to work, stop and say a prayer and say thank you, Lord, for that moisture right there. And it's that humble dependence upon God that's going to cause Him to respond to our prayers. Okay. Glad to see you back. We're going to have a good night. It's going to be good. And Bryce, will you lead us in a word of prayer?
Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
It's the glory of the Lord to be the light within us.
and honor and glory is He worthy. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And as Jesus on the side, all forever those He loves.
He does.
Does our God intend to grow?
Time tonight, we're going to sing so the choir can go down. Great old song, just learning to lean. Learning to lean, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever dreamed, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. The joy I can't explain fills my soul since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He is teaching and I'm learning to lead. Learning to lead. But then strong rock is Jesus, my Lord. Though my trials I've been learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than
singing.
You can be seated.
Good choir. God is good. Amen. When I was in my 70s, I started saying everywhere that I preached, every time I preached, I would say that I'm whatever years old, you know, 70, whatever, and I sure don't look it. That's what I'd say. Every time. Loretta would say, why do you do that? I said, because I need encouragement. That's why. So I did. I used to do that. Now that I'm turning 84 Thursday, I'm changing that this month to this. I'm 84, and I'm starting to look at, don't say amen. And I want to be correct, politically correct. I love the story about in a nursing home. They were having a special occasion with the seniors. And there was this woman, they were having an activity, and this woman kept staring at this one guy, just a constant stare, until the point it really was agitating him. And so finally, he said, you know, I want to ask you something. Why do you keep staring at me like that? And she said, because you remind me of my third husband. And he said, how many times you've been married? And she said, 2 times. Good to see the Williams Senior here tonight. They're special people, and I just love them, and for them giving us Brother Dwayne, and we just are blessed, and we're thankful. And here's what I want you to do now. I want you to listen close because I'm going to test you. My subject tonight is promises that glow in the dark. What's my subject tonight? And I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 18, and I want you to read with me just one verse out of Psalm chapter 18, and then I'll be quoting a lot of scripture to you tonight. If you're a note taker, you'll have time, plenty of time to write the scriptures down, the reference to it, and I'm glad you're here tonight. It's just great to be in the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Are you there at Psalm 18 now? Yes. Now read with me, if you will, verse number 28, reading together. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Now let's do that one more time like you really mean it. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And then in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Then in the book of Psalm chapter 112 and verse 4, the Bible says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. In 2 Chronicles 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. In Daniel 2 and verse number 22, the scripture says, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Now, God's people are called children of light. Now that we are saved, if you're saved and born again Christian, say amen.
Amen.
Now that we are saved, we run to the light and from darkness. Saved people are not comfortable in the darkness of this world. The unsaved world loves darkness. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. But there are times, often, when God's people, that's you, that's me, walk through darkness. What then? Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 12, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now, you and I know tonight, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on this tonight, but we are living in dark days. But God's people always have light at our disposal. Many would rather kindle their own fire and live by sparks, but God is light, and light dwells with him, and he is ready to turn on the light anytime we want it. I have a favorite statement now, and that's simply this: God's got it. Now, for just a couple of hours tonight, let me give you three things about this subject tonight. First of all, we deal with the darkness of confusion. Which way do I go? Ever been there? Maybe today, maybe yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, maybe a week ago. But we've all been there. God is not the author of confusion, but he is ready to light the path if we desire to walk in the paths of righteousness. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. The question is, are we teachable? Is it his way, or are we set in our ways? Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, we have confusion sometimes coming from listening to too many voices. I mean, we just, the technology age has been a blessing in some ways, but a curse in many ways. There's too much information. There's too, and too fast. And in this 24/7 news cycle, you need to, we need to, as God's people, be good stewards and limit how much we let all of that keep coming into us. Some people are in a state of constant anxiety and depression from watching the news. And what we better be doing is looking up, because it's shaping up for the big one. I mean, we can hear the hoofbeats of Armageddon. Just look at Israel. Look at what has happened just in the last few years. We've seen more transpire getting us ready for the coming of Christ in all of the time of man. And so what should we do about it? We should look up, because I'll tell you what, God's got it. It's not taking him by surprise. Some people are living in such a way as you would think that God doesn't know what's going on and he's not in control. Always remember that nothing happens that God does not permit for his purposes. No matter who gets elected in, no matter who gets elected out, no matter what's up or what's down, I'm here to tell you, we are sovereigntists. We know that God is in control and God has got it. There's so many voices calling us. The advertisers, their job is to get our attention. And so they just operate on the basis of, how do you smell? Can somebody smell your BO? How about your breath? How is your breath? They're just constantly trying to get our attention to cause us, to make us want to get their product. It's amazing to me the people that believe this advertising. It's amazing to me what people are doing to try to stay young. These women that do that Botox until their lips look like balloons, until they look like inner tubes, and their skin so tight that they look like they're going to blow up, all of that trying to tap down aging, I'm going to tell you what, it ain't going to work. God's got this thing designed where the time is going to take its toll, and I don't want to discourage you tonight, but it ain't going to get better. We're born to die, but they got all these advertising telling you to do this and do that, and if you take their pills and if you do this, all these voices calling us, and there is a lot of confusion that comes by listening to too many voices. I've got a pastor friend in Jacksonville that just a few weeks ago, he called me one day, preacher, and he said, something funny just happened to me. And I said, really, what happened? He said, just around the corner from us, where we live, there's a repair shop. And he said, they have a big sign out front. And on that sign, they had brake service in real big print. And then right underneath it, it said, stop if you can. I mean, isn't it amazing what they do to try to get our business? And we got all these voices going. And then confusion sometimes comes from not using the map. You know, you've heard this. Somebody said, why did Moses wander 40 years in the wilderness? Because he wouldn't ask for directions. This is a man thing. It is. We'll be going somewhere, and Loretta will say, do you know where you're going? I say, yeah, it's not far. I know. And we go. And she says, well, where is it? And I say, well, I think we're going to get to it pretty soon. And she'll say, well, don't you think it'd be good to stop and ask somebody? And I would say, well, no, I really got this. Yeah, sure. You've done it. I know you have. I know you've done this, Brother Jenkins. And you say, and the wife says, "Why don't you stop and get some directions?" We men, it's kind of a man thing, and confusion sometimes comes from following afar off, and confusion sometimes comes from being in unfamiliar places. The world is deceitful, and the Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse number 6 that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so, when we find ourselves in the darkness of confusion, there is a promise that glows in the dark. Psalm 32 verse 8, God said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. There's a wonderful song, and thank you, choir, for that song tonight. That was beautiful. That was made for TV. It really was. It was, and Brother Dwayne said, I want you to really listen to the words of the song, and I did, and it was a blessing to me. Thank God for good music. I'd hate to try to build a church without music. It gets us ready. The whole thing is to get us ready for the preaching of the word. But there's this good song that says, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still, or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis by God's hand that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. I'm telling you, folks, God has got it. So we have the darkness of confusion. Are you still awake? Say amen. All right. Secondly, tonight, we want to consider the darkness of fear. I have several, you know, all of us have favorite verses that we get in our hearts that we go over and over again. And here's one that has been a blessing to me now for several years. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7. Please take special note of that tonight. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Have the darkness of fear. Men are living today. People are living today in such fear. And, you know, humanly speaking, if you just look at what's happening and listen to I want to say idiots in Washington. This isn't being streamed tonight, is it? We got a bunch of idiots. We've got a bunch of insane people running the asylum. And you look at what's happening, you see the confusion, and you see the total breakdown in our culture. And it's folks, we are seeing a total collapse, and it is, in a sense, you know, the Bible even says that in the last days men's hearts would fail them for fear, and we've got these people telling us that in 10 years the world's going to blow up and we'll be no more. Think about our kids, what they're putting our children through. And the purpose is it's a control thing. They want to control us through fear. But God, listen now, God hath not given us that spirit. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right, now don't worry about this. I got this. 1, 2, 3. I made it. Say amen.
Amen.
You proud of me? Proud of me? God does not want us living in fear. Too many of us are living in the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they don't make it? What if she has a wreck? In the what ifs. God does not want us, that's not trusting him. God does not want us to live that way. God wants us to trust him. And I claim this scripture constantly now. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that sound mind, you need to study it out and get the root meaning of these words. Does not mean that a Christian will never have some mental issues. I've got mental issues, don't you? Matter of fact, I'm kind of crazy. You know, I used to say to Loretta about some people, don't look around now, but I'd say about some people, you know, they're just crazy. And then I finally got convicted and I said to add to it, but so am I. You know, right now today I'm about here. And sometimes I get here. And sometimes I get there. And don't you be pious about it. You're the same way. We've all got some mental trouble. We need God's help. Satan does everything to pull us down and defeat us. And not only does he use confusion, but he uses this matter of fear. My wife was a little bit nervous. about me making this trip. I can understand that because she sees me at home staggering around and you know, in the evenings I get spacey. Now I'm okay tonight because I got a nap, but in the evenings I get spacey. You know, I'm in the evenings like a lot of people pay to get, and I've got it, and I've got it naturally. And you know, there's a rainbow in every cloud, you know, and so I can understand why Loretta, and she never has stood in my way over these decades. We've had the privilege of preaching hundreds of meetings, and she's never held back. She's never discouraged me in doing evangelistic ministry, even when I was pastoring. Boy, I'll tell you what, she's pure gold, but you know, she didn't discourage me about this trip. She just, well, what you wouldn't call discouraged. She just said, "Honey, you think you're really ready?" And what I did, I hadn't preached a meeting since last February when I was in Texas and got COVID, and still hadn't fully recovered from that one. Had it twice, so I did a test meeting down near Tampa, Florida, with a great church down there, Countryside Baptist. I did it as a test meeting in March, and I did good. I traveled, it was about 3 or 4 hours down there, and I traveled good, and so, like I said, I can handle it. But she was a little bit nervous about me hitting the road. I don't know why, you know. She said, you know, she said, I'm afraid you're an easy target. An easy target, you know. And I don't understand that, just because I get out of the car real slow and have to get my cane out and stand there a little bit and get my balance to take off. How's that an easy target? And I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I've got God first. And then I said, I've got this cane. And I have it in my mind all the time what I would do if. Yeah, I do. I program my mind what I would do. And boy, somebody, you know, gets too close. Don't think. I work on this. I want, feel that muscle up there. Yeah. I work on, so I had you feel that. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? Landon, did you feel it? My muscle? Yeah. I mean, I use stretch. Hey, this is good preaching. Don't sit there and look like that. I use those stretch bands 3 or 4 times a week, and I keep my upper body strength up so that I'll have a good swing. So I've got this, and I've got something in my right side that's a real good thing. I don't think I have to apologize for that in this church, but I have something over here. And I said, I'm aware of my surroundings, and I am. I'm always looking to see that it looks as safe as possible. And I'm going to tell you what, it's just good to trust God about it. I was a little bit apprehensive myself because I know the energy it takes to do it. I know what it takes to pack it up and drive 1,400 miles, and I know the energy that takes. And so at first, preacher, I was just a little bit apprehensive, but man, when that car was loaded and I take off and hit the highway, I'm in highway heaven. I mean, driving's always been therapy for me. People say, how in the world can you get in a vehicle and drive like that so far by yourself? Well, because I like myself. I like me. I like being with me. I like the time that I can just, I hardly ever use the radio or music when I'm traveling because I just love the meditative time, and that's with all that traffic script. It's just in my DNA to do it. And so, boy, when I got going, Loretta says, you always sound so happy when you get on the road. I said, because I am. I absolutely am. And I'm just thrilled that God let me pack it up and make this trip. I really didn't think it would happen again, but I'm glad it did, because I love you and I'm glad to see you. Wow, I mean, I feel a shout coming on. Spirit of fear. I've always traveled by the seat of my britches, preacher. I never plan where I'm going to stop. Never have done that. I just go till I want to stop, and then I start looking for a room. That used to work pretty good, but not in the last 2 or 3 years, because you find out everything's filled because of whatever, and you have to go further and further and further, and you're later. So my kids, man, they're looking out for me, and I've got a son-in-law that runs a big Coke plant there in Valparaiso, which is at Fort Walton Beach, and he's good with computers and technology, and my youngest daughter is a paralegal, and she's smart and that. So they were following me on the road and saying, "Now, Dad, we're going to start making plans for you to stop somewhere if it's okay." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm to the point now. I'll take any help I can get." So they were keeping up with me, and, "Where are you planning on stopping, Dad?" "Well, I'll let you know. I'll try to get you." So we were doing that, and everything was going good. And I was having a great trip and no problems. And then I got to where I was headed for Abilene, and I thought I might want to stop in Abilene. So I said, "Okay." I called them and said, I think I want to stop in Abilene. Well, they checked Abilene, and they didn't have one hotel room, not one, because there's some kind of the graduations and all that. So they didn't have a hotel room. And I said, "Well," and they said, "We'll check on the next town." So they checked on another smaller town, and they didn't have one room. And then there was a severe weather thing coming up on my dash, telling me that there's a chance of severe thunderstorms, and showed me that I was heading right into it. And so I said, "You know, we need to find something." And so finally, they found one room, the last room that was available in Sweetwater, and it was in the New La Quinta Inn there. They found one room available there, and so they got that secured for me. And so I thought, "Oh, goody." But it was getting so dark and ominous, it was terrible looking, you know. And I thought, So I was just... I tried not to go. I tried to never go over. Any policemen here tonight? I try to never go over 5 miles an hour over any speed limit, but I was kind of hitting it, because I was wanting to get somewhere. And I mean, it was, you know how I can look the sky. It was looking wicked, and so here I go. So they finally got me that room in Sweetwater, and I was 15 miles out, 15 miles out. And boy, that thing hit. I mean, a blast of dust and all that I could hardly see. And then the lightning and the hail started pounding down. And the kids was on the phone. They were terrified. They were more scared than I was. And they said, "Dad, we can hear that." I said, "Yeah, so can I." And man, it was wicked, preacher. It was wicked. And it was the second worst storm I've been in like that. And so what I did... There was an 18-wheeler right in front of me, and so I just got right up behind him and thought, "I'm going to stay right behind him." And you might know where it is. There's an easy exit and on and a station somewhere in between there, about 15 miles out. And so I followed that 18-wheeler in, and preacher, he got on the side in, on the exit, and then he pulled off in the shoulder, and when he pulled over, he was like this. And I got behind him, and I was like that too. And it was pounding rain, and it was coming in stream, a big stream right by on the right side of my car. And I thought, "Man, wonder if I'm getting in a flash flood here." And the kids were scared. And I'll be frank with you, I was nervous, only an idiot wouldn't be. I mean, you know, I was a little nervous. But I claimed this scripture. I said it out loud. "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I said, the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And boy, the kids are laughing and said, oh, Dad, you, I said, hey, God's got this. And you know what? I really meant it. God, I knew, what are they going to threaten me with, heaven? And so I sit there, and finally, everything was stopped on the interstate, and finally, the 18-wheeler started pulling out, and I pulled out and got behind him, and I followed him a long time, and we got into Sweetwater. But man, preacher, that was an experience. That led me to think, I need to land this plane before too long. What time did we start? 6 o'clock? Yeah, I can make it. Yeah, I won't be over 2 hours. I think I've had my first hour. But it made me think, preacher, about Loretta and I. We went to Tijuana, Mexico to see our missionaries, the Higgins. I don't know if you know Norman Higgins, one of the best missionaries ever was, and he's been out of our church for decades. And we went to visit the Higgins in Tijuana. And when we were on the way home, I remember I had a Chevrolet Trailblazer, and we were on the way home, me, my wife, and the dog. The dog is always with us. And boy, dogs are great. I don't want to go fishing with you if you don't like dogs. And so it was me, my wife. And we were on Interstate 10, you know, that long stretch through there. And we was in one of them areas where everything was wide open. You could see for miles, nothing around. And the skies got real ominous. I mean, really started looking bad late in the evening. So I stopped at a convenience store, and I went in, and I said, do you know anything about this weather? And they said, yeah, where are you headed? I said, east. They said, bad. You're headed into a bad storm. But I had no choice. There was nothing to do but go on or just sit there. So I took off, and we got back on the interstate. And I mean, it turned out just like it did here last Friday evening. And it got so ominous. And I mean, the hail started coming down and banging on that car. And my dear wife, we had a sunroof. She thought that it was going to come through, and it got her Bible and was sitting there holding the Bible over her head. And I said, that's all right, honey. Anything will help, you know. And man, it was really a terror. It was something. It was terrible. And it was blowing so hard. You ever seen that where the hail's blowing sideways? You know, and it was slamming into my driver's side of the car, and you couldn't see the road, and didn't want to stop. Did somebody run over you? It was terrible. And you know what happened? All at once, it was like an angel. All at once, an 18-wheeler pulled up by us and come over close to me and shielded us from that weather and stayed there for miles. We couldn't do over 5 miles an hour. It's real slow, and shielded us for miles. And finally, when we worked out of that, he just tapped his brakes and flashed his lights. And I flashed my lights, a thank you, and he just went on. You know what? I believe God's got angels out there. Well, I don't just believe it, watching over us. And it almost brought tears to our eyes to think how God provided for us, because we don't know what would have happened. Bottom line is this, folks. Whatever's happening, God's got it. Always remember that. God's got it. He doesn't want us to operate in fear. My girls don't want me to walk the dog at night. Well, you know, I like to walk the dog at night because it's quiet and you don't have a lot of whatever, so I do it. And so I said, look, I've got a light on my forehead, a bright light, one of them that you flash it on, you put it in their face, they're stopped right then. So I got the light on my forehead. I have pepper spray on my wrist. I've got my cane in hand. I've got in this right side, I've got that. And I've got my dog, and I've got God. I've got the whole package. And I say, you know what? God can protect me. I'm not going to be stupid. And somebody, preacher, one of the men in the church, contacted somebody, I believe in Texas, that He called and described that, and the guy made a picture, wish I'd have bought it to show you, that, and it looked just like me, kind of fluffy, and the hair sticking out a little bit. Really. And the light, and the flashlight going down on the road, and me holding the dog, and the cane. You'd have to see it. It is something. How come you didn't tell me to bring it so you could see it? I wish I'd have bought that. And I said, I've got all this, and I've got God, and I've got heaven too. Don't live by fear. And it's not a quick fix. It's an everyday, moment by moment, trusting God. My time's up. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Thank you, thank you. You folks are so gracious. You listened and you respond. And I told Loretta on the phone today, I said, these people at Bible Baptist Church are special people, and you are. And I thank you for your friendship and your fellowship. And I just pray tonight that if you're here and you're not saved, only God knows, maybe everybody here is saved. We would think probably so on this Sunday night service, but only God knows. If you don't know that you're saved, you ought to be fearful. You ought to have fear, because you're bound for hell if you're not saved. You're all of this and hell to come. So don't go away unsaved. If you're not saved, understand Jesus died on the cross for you. He loves you. He died for you, and you can be saved tonight by repenting of your sin and calling on Him for salvation. When we have the invitation in a moment, I pray you'll be the first to come and tell the pastor, I'd like to be saved, and somebody will be glad to prayerfully and kindly counsel with you as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody would be glad to see anybody get saved. Say amen. Amen. We're all for you. We want you, and God's for you. He wants you to be saved. If you're visiting and you need a church home, and God tells you tonight in this Sunday night service, this is where you ought to be. And you'll know that because right now you're thinking, I need to do this. I'll tell you, folks, and I'd hate to be without a church home. It's our anchor. God's designed it that we've got to have the church for fellowship and spirituality. And listen, we got to have it. And the devil's slick, boy. He'll have you waiting and waiting and saying next time. And next thing you know, it's months. Sometimes people go a year and more. But if you're here and you feel God's leading to be a part of the church, you come. And then I never got to the third point. That's all right. There's a lot of scripture we've had, and we've spoken our heart. And if God's talked to you in any special way tonight about your own life, about fear, about worrying too much, that's something all of us can easily do. And you want to trust God more. And you want to know God's got it in everything, and He does. He's got it. Come and talk to Jesus about the desires of your heart or concern for somebody else. And Jesus, in your name, may your will be done as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen. You come right now, if God's telling you to, while we sing. Would you come?